Santa Fe's news talk leader, Talk 1260, KTRC.
Welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry, and we are into that wonderful time of year where there's often the opportunity to look back on what's happened in the air and hopefully look back on it with gratitude. In fact, I just gave you a little key there. You know, this is the time of year where it's such a cliche. We consider, you know, the coming year, what we're going to be doing with the coming year. And the idea of New Year's resolutions comes up. And the reason I say cliche is, isn't it the truth that the idea of New Year's resolutions becomes almost more of a cliche, almost more of a joke than for many people it becomes really a real thing to work? Because what's the cliche idea that happens with New Year's resolutions? Well, we make these resolutions, and then sometime along the way in the new year, often very soon in the new year, we find we're not following through on the resolutions, they're not happening, and we kind of go, oh, well, you know, it was a nice idea, you know, it was fun to do for the new year, but looks like it's not really going to change, whatever it is. So today would be kind of fun to play a little bit with the idea of New Year's resolutions and come into some principles, some ideas, some practices, some games that can help you have your New Year's resolutions really stick. And so the first thing that I would suggest to you is let's throw out the word resolutions. Resolutions, I don't know, resolutions to me just sounds like what some, you know, city council or some board or something comes up with when they want to make some political spin public statement that doesn't really have any effect on anything but sounds good. So instead of resolutions, I like to talk about New Year's intentions. What are your intentions for the new year and how to make those really work for you so that the coming year is something that you feel more and more inspired into, invited into, feel an invitation into. That's what we're going to be working with this hour. And I'd really love your participation in this. So to provide a little incentive to call in, anybody who calls in here to either share with me a New Year's resolution or intention that, you know, something you have up for the new year that I'm happy to work with you a little bit here on the air with, if you want to call in, share with me about that, maybe share a story about past New Year's resolutions, anything about that, call in, share that with me, and I'll be glad to give you a free session to develop that into a really powerful, impactful energy that you can then work in a more specific way throughout the year. The number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. Feel free to give a call and join the conversation. So New Year's intentions that can really stick. So let's start with the fundamental, what you might call the foundation. You know, you can think of this metaphorically a little bit like a structure. One of the mistakes that New Year's resolutions makes is to go directly to some specific outcome and try then willfully to make that happen. The classic willpower approach. So there's an old model of the mind that's one that I commonly refer to that really just looks at, you know, conscious surface level of the mind, the rational part of the mind, the subconscious part of the mind, that below the surface, more feeling, imagining part of the mind, and the superconscious part of the mind, the part of the mind that is larger, you know, experience more as something larger than each of us individually that we're a part of, and where a larger, more universal creative intelligence or energy is at work that we can connect with and express ourselves through or allow to express through us. Each of these in this model is considered to be a part of mind as a whole, and each of these has certain attributes. And when we emphasize those particular attributes through abilities that we have about those, we tend to emphasize that part of the mind. that surface conscious level part of the mind is really, in my use of that model, considered to be the part of the mind in which willpower operates. And willpower, as most people refer to it, really means I'm going to will myself, make myself do something different than what I feel like. That sound familiar at all? You know, like the classic, okay, it's coming into the new year. This is the year I'm really going to lose that weight, and I'm going to get fit, and I'm going to get myself into shape. But one of my very first jobs out of college was in a big fitness club in the Los Angeles area back in the days where big fitness clubs was just kind of coming into vogue. And we always knew that, and I was assistant manager for the club, and I ran all the sales and marketing operations, and we always would run special deals right after the new year and then kind of coming into springtime, because we knew those were the times of years when people would always jack up their motivation and their willpower to get in shape. And of course, classically, that would, you know, shortly after those times would be the times that after selling a bunch of these memberships, there'd be a significant number of them that would go dormant because people would sign up for these memberships and then they wouldn't really come in and use them. You know, we caught them at the time that their motivation was strong, but they didn't really follow through. So that's a classic reflection of the willpower approach, in which we have that ability. We have the ability to kind of overcome, step on top of, overpower in a sense, what we're feeling like in the moment. And if we can be consistent enough in our willfulness, we can affect change in that matter. This is part of what affirmations is about. Why affirmations by themselves is a really challenging, hard tool to really make work for us in the bigger picture in the long run, because it's a little bit like hammering away at something that is pushing back. The willpower approach commonly has an experience of kind of internal wrestling or argument, and it's not a fun, easy way to affect change. Wouldn't it be nice if there were a way to, instead of pushing back against or trying to overpower what we feel like, to simply change what we feel like so we feel like doing what is naturally most healthy for us, serves us in the best way. If getting more fit and more healthy is something that's a choice, wouldn't it be nice if there were a way to simply shift what I'm feeling like so I just naturally feel like eating the foods that are most nutritious for me and drinking only what's most nutritious for me and being active and recreational in ways that best serve my health and well-being and fitness. Wouldn't that be nice? So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the classic, this idea of New Year's intentions. And the foundation for this access is to begin with looking back on the current year, your life as it is, and finding where you're grateful for how it is. Because isn't it classically the truth that New Year's intentions often come out of what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my life? What's bad? What's unhealthy? What's a bad habit? What do I need to change so that I can be okay? Now that makes rational sense. From that purely analytical, rational, problem-solving kind of sense, that makes sense. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit what we understand motivationally about us as human beings. We operate motivationally most effectively when we're coming from a place of what's working, what's good, what's right about me already, what am I grateful for? So finding what you're already grateful for about your life and the recent year that's coming to a completion sets a foundation for powerful positive energy that's available for you to work yourself through into eventually getting to something more specific. So there's a few steps that set up what you want most specifically for yourself that'll make your specific outcomes work effectively for you. So if you were to take a moment right now and just and trust your initial impressions and intuition on this, and let it even be very simple. Doesn't have to be anything big and dramatic, but just simply, if you look at what are you grateful for? What did you do well this year? what's good in your life. There may be really obvious things that are so obvious and common for you that you kind of stopped even looking at them as something to be grateful for. Things that are available for you every day in your life that have become so commonplace that you might think of them as kind of common and mundane, and what's the big deal about being grateful for? And yet, that's a good place to start. You know, whether it's the amount of financial resource in your life, what relationships you have in your life, you have a place to live, you have a car to drive, you have a job, you don't have a job, do you have opportunities, you like where you live. If it takes you to find something even small to you right now, or even imagining the possibility of what to be grateful for, let yourself connect into that. Find what there is that is available to feel some gratitude about, to be thankful for. To be thankful for what country you live in. To be thankful that you don't live in Syria. You know? These really obvious, commonplace things. Find what there is to be grateful for. And even if you find just a subtle little bit of that, take a moment. If you're in a place where you can even close your eyes and really tune into it, do that. If you're driving or something you need to pay attention to, keep doing that. Be in charge of that. But just let yourself breathe into that gratitude. And when we come back, we're going to build on that gratitude into some powerful New Year's intentions for you. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're streaming on SantaFe.com.
Forgotten what it's like to celebrate New Year's Eve like it should be celebrated? On December 31st, the El Dorado Hotel will host a music event you'll not soon forget. Hi, I'm Michael Botrill with Southwest Care Center.
And I'm Marla Sievers with Women's Health Services. On New Year's Eve, Clock of Ages, Rock of Ages will take you back through decades of popular music beginning with the 1950s.
The Tom Reams Group start the evening with the memorable 50s, 60s, and 70s. Then, taking you through the heavy dance beats of the 80s and 90s is Albuquerque's own DJ Eldon. And before we bring in the new year, expect to be wowed by one of America's most successful pop divas, Taylor Dayne.
Then the evening explodes with the return of Austin Head, one of the Southwest's most notable DJs.
A complimentary champagne toast, raffles, surprises, and the time-honored balloon drop, all happening in the beautiful El Dorado Hotel. Visit our Facebook page at Clock of Ages or SantaFe.com for ticket reservations.
Proceeds benefit Women's Health Services, Southwest Care Center, and Santa Fe Mountain Center.
Happy New Year!
He sharpens knives with his wit. His opinion on celebrity chefs, reality cooking shows, and Jerry Springer.
No.
He is the most interesting chef in the world.
I don't always cook Italian, but when I do, I cook at Il Piatto.
Il Piatto, Italian farmhouse kitchen, one block north of the plaza on Marcy Street. Serving dinner 7 nights, lunch 11:30 to 4:30, Monday through Saturday.
Late night happy hour, 9 to 10:30 p.m. every night.
Hi, it's Ray Post of All Things Real Estate. Join me this Sunday from Taos as we broadcast from a prime and historic retail space right next door to the Taos Inn. We'll have guest interviews, gift certificate drawings, and tours of this former art gallery. For information, call 780-3237, that's 780-3237, and join me at this unique location right next door to the Taos Inn this Sunday at noon for All Things Real Estate.
Talk 1260 KTRC.
We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry, and we're talking today about New Year's intentions that really stick, that really work. And how's that gratitude? How's that appreciation going? If you find that coming up with something to feel grateful for is challenging, is a wrestling match, then the good news is you've let yourself know right where there's the opportunity for you. So if that's something you want a little help with today, you can feel free to give a call into the show. Anybody who calls into the show today and shares a little something or asks a question, I'll set you up with a free session, either in person in my office or by phone if you're not local to me here. And help you develop a very powerful basis for your New Year's intentions this year. The number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. Feel free to give us a call. And I've had somebody pop into the studio here who's going to help us a little with the conversation. I've got Zach Dufresne, who's popped into the station here. He's the national sales manager here for Hutton Broadcasting and a good friend for me. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to A Matter of the Mind.
Yeah, thanks. It was kind of a lovely surprise this morning. It's good to be here.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what are you grateful for?
You know, it's I've spent a lot of time the last couple of months doing a lot of reflection on my life and the past year. And, you know, we live in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're very grateful, all of us, to be in such a beautiful place full of history and culture and very vibrant, eclectic community. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that. And I have a wonderful job here at Hutton Broadcasting. And I'm very lucky. I look forward to coming to work every day, and I work with a lot of great people like yourself. And, you know, I've spent some wonderful time over the holidays with my mother and father, had some wonderful food and good conversation, and life is good. So
right on.
Yeah.
Right on. So, you looking forward to the new year?
I am. 2013. Can't believe it. Man, the last couple of months seemed like they flew by, but we're about to embark on another year. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, I was listening to you open up your segment, and the phrase, as you think, so shall you be, you know, kind of came to my mind. Mm. You know, it's you were talking about the willpower of trying to change your life or fighting against what you really want to do, but you know you shouldn't be doing it, so you're having sort of this chess match with yourself. And typically that is a recipe for failure in the long term. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading and listening to some tapes and some things that you've suggested. And it's really this controlling changing your way you think to change your life. You know, that's kind of a recipe for success, I think. So I've been thinking about that. I'm actually going to print that out and tape it on my bathroom mirror every morning so I can, as I'm getting ready for work, you know, as you think, so shall you be.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
So
it sounds like, you know, the grateful part is something you've got solid.
Yeah.
Or at least you have reference points for that.
Yeah.
So whenever you bring enough awareness to go, okay, you know, let's remember what to be grateful for, you have reference points for that.
Yeah. You know, I recently, like I said, I've tried to remind myself of the good things, because we always seem to want to focus on the negative things in our lives, or what's not going right, or a relationship that isn't working, or, you know, stress at work or something like that. But, you know, if you can focus on the positive things, then you fill yourself up with, you know, the good vibes, as they say. And,
Yeah. And I think I know you well enough to know that one of the things that we share is that we both grew up with dads that could be very critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's probably some good things that came from that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
But, you know, it's sometimes it's when you're raised in that environment, you have a tendency to focus on maybe some things you didn't do well enough, or you didn't perform at a high enough level. And,
Yeah, and certainly there's benefit in learning how to have critical thinking, how to analyze things, look for where there's
sure.
an opportunity to improve something, to solve something. But when there becomes a habit to only look for what's wrong, what's bad, what needs to be critical judgment, you might call it.
Sure.
A judgmental way of criticizing and being critical. When that becomes a habit, then the false sense of improvement comes into that, which is a kind of a jargony way to talk about there becomes a habit of what's wrong.
Sure.
What's bad. That sort of from a rational sense makes sense. We can look for where that we can really, you know, solve and perfect something.
Sure.
But from a feeling level, motivational level, it turns out that that opposes what we understand really works motivationally, which is the more I'm connected with what I'm doing well, what's right about me, what there is to be grateful for,
right,
what's positive, where I'm resourceful, what's working, the more I tap into the natural optimist and the one that naturally is ready to take on whatever's going on, no matter what seems to be wrong, and say, let's go.
Right.
Let's go, man, let's go. Look what, you know, it's like I know you're a skier, so it's like that moment where you get up to the slope, that first one of the day, and you get up to the top of the lift, and you say, up there at the top of the slope, and you're looking down on the slope, and it's a beautiful day, and you're just like, ah, let's go. Or even that moment where you wake up in the morning, kind of like an 8 or a 10-year-old who's just like, remember when you were 8, you know, 10 years old, whatever, and you just wake up and you just like jump out of bed and you're like, man, it's a new day. Let's go.
Right.
You know, like that. Wouldn't it be great to know how to tap into that all the time?
More often.
Right. Right.
Right.
No matter what may have been a problem or something that went wrong before, to tap into that kind of energy. And so wherever we can cultivate what we're grateful for and that sense of what do I do well? What's good? What's going on? What's a possibility here? It's really about cultivating that childlike, naturally optimistic energy that wants to push us forward.
That's
that
right.
Wants to, you know, go out and jump on a skateboard or go out and jump on a bicycle or whatever it is and just say, let's go.
Right.
So that's kind of the foundation, the beginning point. And then as we have that energy and we're looking forward, there's a tendency in the New Year's resolutions to go right to some specific outcome that I go, okay, I'm going to double my income this year. I'm going to make, you know, $500,000 this year. Or I'm going to get that new car. I'm going to get the new house. Or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to finally connect with that relationship that's really that fantastic relationship I want or whatever that is. Those are all great. But whenever someone comes into me with that these days, I've come to understand, well, that's great, but if you had all of that, then what would that give you?
Yeah.
That's often a question I come to.
They say that's more from the world of the material or the ego.
Yes.
The outcome.
Which is valid. I mean, we're physical beings. We live in a three-dimensional universe. You know, what happens in that realm is significant and is a part of who we are. But I often love to, I know you've heard me say this a number of times, you know, we call ourselves human beings. We don't call ourselves human havings or human doings or human tryings or human, you know, reasonings. We call ourselves human beings for a reason, kind of like we're giving ourselves this hint. What if that's really the place to start from rather than to try to get to?
Right.
Because as I ask people about what is it about this particular outcome, if you already had that, what would that give you? And when we really follow that line of inquiry to its ultimate conclusion, people always get to some very simple existential kind of statement. Oh, well, then I'd be happy.
Yeah. Well, it's more about the process than the destination, as
yes,
they say.
Yes.
Which is true. The happiness is in the process of the evolution of yourself,
right,
versus that, okay, I'm finally want to get the big house. It's the process of becoming what you're going to become in order. You know, that's more of a result of who you're becoming in the process.
Right. And particularly for those of us who are Western cultural animals,
right,
it makes sense. We're always thinking of, okay, what do I do to get to that? And yet, what if the truth is that beingness level, that existential level, is available for us to simply choose and step into and is more appropriately the vehicle and the support and the energy and the resource to, through that, to move into specific outcomes. So when I talk about intentions, in this case, New Year's intentions, I'm always looking to guide more in terms of what is that quality of outcome that you're looking to create by something specific that if you could just choose yourself directly into it, what would it be? And how would it be to start with that? So if there's an intention about a certain amount of additional income or financial resource in some way that is decided for the new year, typically then people will, you know, back into that. Well, if I had that, then I'd really, you know, feel prosperous and resourceful and so forth. I said, okay, great. So how about if we choose that as the intention?
Right. To be that way versus having to have the money to feel that way.
Yes. Sure. To live in the experience, in the presence, in the beingness of prosperous, of abundant. And it sounds, I know it's a little cliche, a little, you know, people go, oh, that's like that new agey, you know, kind of stuff. But there's something fundamental in that that works. That's the reason for the cliche. So when we come back, I want to get a little more into what would be the specific kind of qualities and outcomes that are possibilities for these New Year's intentions for you. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. So you are listening to A Matter of the Mind. We are broadcasting locally on Talk 1260 KTRC, and we stream on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Zach Dufresne. We're talking today about New Year's intentions, New Year's intentions that stick, that really work. And Zach, you were mentioning something offline that I think is a really useful point. We touched on it a little earlier, but you talked about often when we're thinking about setting a New Year's resolution, what are the thoughts that we're basing that on? You were talking about it is looking at something that, you know, isn't working or isn't a problem.
Sure. Yeah. If we're, you know, in and out of jobs that we don't like or relationships that aren't working for us, you know, typically there's a pattern there, and it's usually because of the way that you're thinking. So it's more on a, I guess you could say, a deeper level than what we think of as more physical actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to change our lives. Like you said, the willpower of doing something.
Right.
But really, it's kind of sitting on the couch and being quiet for a couple hours and, like you said, kind of tapping into a deeper level and thinking about, you know, what do I think about my life? And you know, where is my focus in my life a majority of the time? Because usually what we do is we manifest in our lives where our focus is, where our intention is.
Mm.
And when we're having feelings of fear or inadequacy about our lives, then that's typically what we manifest to come into our mm-hmm. lives. And then we say, gosh, it's just happening over and over for us. Or if you can figure out what you want for your life and stay focused on that, maybe actually take a minute to write them down, which is always a good thing. Then over time, if you can stay focused on that and keep your intention on what you do want, they will start to come into your life. People will come into your life that want to help you, and they'll help you get to where you want to go. And there'll be an amazing job opportunity that comes about. You're not really sure how, but it's because you've kept your focus on what you really want in your life.
Mm-hmm. On that intention, on that quality of outcome you want, rather than than trying to solve the problem.
Exactly.
Because the more the focus is on the problem you're trying to solve, the more your attention is staying involved in whatever that problem, quote unquote, what's wrong is.
Right.
And that's just more energy created there.
Exactly. Yeah. Your energy is focused on all the things that are going wrong or that you don't want. And then what happens is you keep getting what you don't want.
Yep. Yep.
And it's kind of that classic manifesting into your life, wherever your mind is. So that's why I was saying earlier, as you think, so shall you be. Control your thoughts to control your life.
I know.
Sounds simple.
and is simple.
It is.
The practice.
Yeah.
Now that's something else.
Exactly.
Now I've got Lee on the line. Hi, Lee. Welcome
Hello.
To A Matter of the Mind.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So what's going on with you today?
Well, I wanted to call. I loved your topic today. And I am a person who has never made a single New Year's resolution, because it just never appealed to me, that process. And I really resonate with what you said about New Year's intentions, because this threshold of a new year feels different to me inside. It really feels like a threshold to me, and there's something different and bigger and new that I'm being called to do, but I don't even know what it is. So it's not something I can, you know, resolve about, because I don't have the big picture, let alone any sort of steps.
Well, this is perfect, actually perfect, because tell me this, Lee, when you say you have a sense of this threshold or this something, how do you notice it? How do you know it's there?
I feel it Well, I kind of feel it in my body, in the center mm-hmm. of my body, and mm-hmm. in a restlessness in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a lot of information and inspiration coming in various, you know, things that I read and listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And so a kind of a restlessness and, just kind of a call.
What would you like to do with that?
Well, I want to heed it and honor it. And I feel like what I need to do right now is to catch what it is I'm called to be for
uh-huh.
you. So to be present for it is, I guess, the first part I'm thinking.
So would you be willing to play with me a little bit right now around that?
Okay.
Okay. So if it works for you, Warrior, just close your eyes for a moment and really tune into the feeling in your body. You said you notice it as a feeling in your body. Where do you notice that feeling? Where is it in your body? Is it in one spot? Is it all over?
I think I notice it more kind of a solar plexus-ish or a little above.
Okay. What's the physical sensation of it like?
A kind of a tension or a tingling.
Okay. A tension or a tingling or a tension and a tingling?
And.
Okay. So there's a tension, there's a tingling. And the tension, how would you describe that? Is that like a pressure, like a squeezing, like something in the inside pushing out, or something different than that?
I think more of a pushing.
More of a pushing. A pushing from the inside out, a pushing from the outside in.
Inside out.
From the inside out. So something pushing from the inside out, and you said a tingling sensation as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if right now, in this moment, set aside any particular agenda for it, even though you may have some kind of an agenda, set that aside for right now. And just take a moment to just kind of greet it, acknowledge it, let it know that you notice it there.
Yes.
And just let it know that it has your attention. Just kind of breathe into it. What happens with it as you do that?
It expands and eases the tension.
Okay, interesting. So it expands, and the tension part of it eases. So now then, really thank it for being here. Welcome it.
Yes.
And just continue observing it, just as it is. What happens as you do that?
I feel like an appreciation, a connection.
Ah, now isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
By just observing and welcoming without trying to get it to do anything, moved into that appreciation. So as you keep breathing into that, just keep welcoming it, inviting it. And if you'd like, maybe move it just a little bit out in front of you, just a few inches, some little distance where you stay connected with it, but you can get a little more of a sense of it. What happens with it as you do that?
It's blue.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of feels like just like something of substance that can fit into my hand.
Okay, great. So now just ask it, what are you here for with me? And just continue observing it as you do that. What happens as you do that?
I feel connected, but I still feel a sense of mystery about it.
Okay. Now, would it be okay with you to have that sense of mystery continue to be present?
Yes.
Okay, so let it know that. In fact, how would it be to move into the new year kind of flowing with or guided by or present with that sense of mystery? How would that be?
That feels very gentle and positive.
Great.
And I realize it goes against my tendency to want to kind of get it, you know, get a firm grip on it, know what it is, and get going.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And And I realize that's a predisposition of mine that's not really right in this time.
Right. And whatever turns out to be quote unquote right for you at this time, here's an opportunity to explore something differently, knowing that in each moment there's an opportunity to choose again. So what if there's something within you, something that you might think of more as your true self, or the part of you that is looking forward to what is next for you in the most delightful opportunity, the most interesting possibility, is communicating with you, like a fun playmate, like a game. And it's available for you to play in the game in whatever way you choose. And knowing that whatever is happening right now may evolve, may change, likely will, and this is just what it is for right now.
That feels very, very right.
Yeah. Now, the ego part of us, and the part of us that likes to figure things out in rational terms, may get a little tweaked by this. And so know that along the way, other feelings may come up. You described something else that was going on in your head and something that I kind of heard as this is something else within you that's kind of going, oh, this is dangerous territory. This is weird. This is different. This is unfamiliar. Don't go here. Let's come back to what's familiar. Does that sound accurate?
Of course.
Yeah. So you can acknowledge that as well and kind of allow that to just be as well. What if... See, the truth about you, Lee, is neither one of these things is necessarily who you really are. I used that term true self a little earlier just as a way to play and explore. But what if who you are is greater than any of these feelings or sensations or imaginings or thoughts or so forth? You're the one who can observe them as they come present and make whatever choice that you choose. You can make choices that serve you and serve the intention that's here about this new possibility, something that I'm hearing it has a greater sense of perhaps purpose or meaningfulness for you in your life. But that can sound like something heavy and serious. It doesn't need to be that. What if it can simply be a fun, playful game about what's next? That's the quality that's showing up here. Why not follow that, play with that, and continue to just be with it without trying to do anything with it? And what if that is actually the best way to get to something that will ultimately be more about something to choose, something to do, something to manifest into your life? But instead of rushing the process, what if you allow this other level of intelligence that's showing up to kind of show you what it's like and to be in this playful game with it and see what happens?
Well, that not only sounds like a good idea, but it also sounds fun.
Yes, right. Nice. And since you were good enough to call into the show here today, I'll follow up with you. I'm glad to offer you a free session to see what more we can do with this for you and see where it'll take you. How's that sound?
I really appreciate that.
That'll be great.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Lee. Thanks for calling into the show.
All right. Bye.
All right. Blessings. All right. That was fun.
That was cool.
Yeah. Right on. So anything come up for you in that, Zach?
Well, yeah. You know, the fact that she's having, you know, she's in a place where she even can recognize that is a big step. You know, I think a lot of people, they're too busy in their own lives and going through shopping and work and, you know, filling up their lives with motion that they don't even take the time to find that within themselves.
Yeah,
so I think that she's already, you know, well on her way to finding out what that is.
Yeah. I would agree. That's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking, you know, about meditation, you know, listening to you kind of walk her through that exercise. I was reading something recently. I think it's Pascal. He's a philosopher, but I think it's Pascal's Law. You've probably learned it in school. But he was a philosopher as well, and he said that, you know, all man's problems would cease to exist if they could sit quiet in a room.
Mm.
And that's kind of like you said earlier, tapping into God or that higher power, that energy that's within all of us, and just sit quiet and meditate, and you'll start to recognize those things within yourself. But you have to take the time to just be quiet and peaceful within yourself.
Right. And there can be an idea that that takes a lot of time. And yet, how long was that little interaction? As I was kind of half watching the clock, it was 5 minutes at the most, probably a little less than that in just that little brief interaction.
Right.
All I was really doing was guiding her attention to really what she was guiding her own attention to.
Right.
But as you described, we have our own, our most important fundamental patterns are our internal ones. What are my automatic ways of responding to my own internal communications? What do I automatically pay attention to and follow? What do I automatically ignore or not even notice is there when we give ourselves the opportunity to pay attention to our own internal communications in a different way?
Right.
Sometimes in that, very clear and obvious information shows up for us that may have been showing up for us for a long time that we haven't been paying attention to.
Sure.
And that's where it's also sometimes useful to have a point of reference, a guide, a coach, whether it's a meditation teacher, someone like me, or just a friend or whatever it is, who has an objective point of view to kind of be part of the game in that.
Sure.
And that's a little bit of what we just did. So when we come back, we're going to explore that a little bit more. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, and we are streaming on SantaFe.com.
Centipedes, spiders, and mice like to stay warm, and many have moved inside your home and your business. Get rid of them now. Call the pros at New Mexico Pest Control, serving Santa Fe and northern New Mexico for over 60 years. Call or go online at NewMexicoPestControl.com.
This is Chuck Simcoe, owner of New Mexico Pest Control. We provide green service by using environmentally sensible approaches. At New Mexico Pest Control, the bug stops here.
Hello, this is Mike Mikras, Director of the Santa Fe Small Business Development Center. Our certified business advisors help you make better informed business decisions through our free confidential consulting services and a wide variety of monthly workshops. We're here to help you with everything from business startup to tax requirements to expansion and more. For a full listing of our services and class schedules, go to nmsbdc.org or Google SBDC Santa Fe. Santa Fe Small Business Development Center, Santa Fe's small business partner.
People have all kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I didn't plug it in. I'll turn it off later. It's not my music. It's just one phone charger. So we don't have those Energy Star appliances. So that old window leaks. How much energy and money could the new ones really save? Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and start doing some simple things to save the energy and resources we can.
Because a little here and a little there can add up to a lot later. And you just never know what people will need in the future. My name is
Sarah, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
1260 KTRC, now streaming online at SantaFe.com, keyword talk.
We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Zach Dufresne, and we're playing and exploring and talking about New Year's intentions that stick, that really work for us. And thanks, Lee, for calling in. That was really a perfect little piece in there. The idea of what's speaking to us internally about what we really want is an important and fundamental idea that, as you were saying, Zach, you know, as you were quoting Pascal, I think you were referring to that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I said that right. Hopefully.
Wherever
dishonor him.
Yeah. Wherever we can, you know, just take a moment to be quiet with ourselves and be in a listening with what's showing up internally, that quite often whatever's showing up internally is a beautiful, perfect guide to what we talk about in terms of New Year's resolutions, in our case, New Year's intentions. And so in that vein, as we began with connecting with what we already are grateful for or could be grateful for, and that energy, that juice, that fundamental resource of gratitude, then the sense of, okay, so it's the coming new year. What is it I really want for myself? I want more of or want differently? Getting to it in terms of that, of the more fundamental energy, feeling, tone, character of it, rather than the specific outcomes, that seems to be more in line with what I would call natural principle in terms of creating. So as I described, instead of, you know, a lot of the ideas of creating talk about, let's get very specific about what you want and hold that and visualize about that. I want to have, you know, $100,000 of income this year. They'll just hold that in specific. So I, whenever I'm guiding someone in that area, I go, okay, so yeah, sure, imagine that and tell me about the feeling of that. And they'll start using words like, oh, that feels really great, abundant, I feel really prosperous, I notice myself relaxing in my body, I feel more confident. Anywhere I get more of a feeling tone word, we bring more emphasis to that. And that becomes then more of the practice for attention than the specifics of the outcome. And I know, or at least I'm pretty sure that I've mentioned this one to you, I've done it with so many people, is if you were to imagine already having your ideal outcome for the coming year, whatever that would be, if you already had that, and you were already living in the center of that kind of outcome, that quality of outcome all the time, would it really matter to you exactly what the details are?
No, not at all.
Now, interestingly enough, I started the game of asking people that question many years ago, and at this point, I've asked it of thousands of people. And the interesting thing is everybody says the same thing. I mean, not even virtually everyone. It's like everyone says the same thing. Everyone who takes a moment to really get connected with their personal version of what would be their ideal picture of themselves, of their life, whatever they would say they would ideally want, if they could really get a feeling tone about what it would be like to really already be in that, already have that, already be living as that person, everyone says the same thing. No, it doesn't really matter exactly what the details are. If I'm living, feeling that way, being that way, then whatever details are showing up is great, but who cares exactly what they are?
Yeah, we have done that exercise.
Yeah.
You said, well, why don't you just be that now?
Exactly.
You're already there. You're already feeling it right now. Well, you know, you can have that every day.
And
more than likely, the material outcome at the end will manifest itself and become a reality.
And that's an important part of it. I mean, somebody can come back and say, well, Mark, does that mean I'm just going to be living in some fantasy world? I'll be homeless on the street, but I'll feel great about life? No, that isn't really the way it works. You're not going to have outcomes that are contrary to what you're feeling and still stay in that feeling. You're going to be paying attention to what's actually showing up in your life, and that's going to be feedback in the process here.
Sure.
How far are you going to go into cultivating some feeling tone that is not turning into results that really work for you and stay with that? At some point, if that's what your outcomes are like, you're going to go, wow, Mark really sounded like he knew what he was talking about, but this is not working for me. I'm done with that. And you're going to move on to something else. That hasn't been what people have reflected back to me over the years. And that's really why I mean, I really pay attention to what are the results my clients and my students and so forth have been reflecting back to me about what really works. Because I've tried a lot of things over the years as well. And the things that sounded good but didn't really work, I've kind of given them, you know, toss them over my shoulders and say, let's stick with what really is demonstrated to work here. And what has been reflected back to me most consistently is that those who really kind of work the program in that way really get connected with, okay, if I could imagine my best outcome, whether it's specifically for this year or a bigger picture of life or it's about a certain area of life, whatever that is, and really get connected with the energy of that, the feeling tone of that, what I call a field of intelligence, and really cultivate that being present for me more and more of the time until that's the habit all of the time, and then notice what I naturally tend to choose and take action into and what results show up, that the results that show up often are better results than the ones that they tell me that they were imagining in the first place that they were trying to create for themselves. And that's really the opportunity here. Whatever the quality of the results will be, they will be something consistent with that field of intelligence. But when you allow creative intelligence to flow through you and work for you in terms of what is that quality that shows up, there's the opportunity for details and circumstances and outcomes to show up in a way, to be manifested, that can be better, often way better than what I thought in advance they needed to be in order to have that quality of experience.
Right. And the things that will come into their life, you know, they may not even know. The people, you know, that may come into their life or the things that present themselves along the way, I mean, they could never have thought that those things were going to ever going to be present in their lives.
Yeah.
That may help them get to the end result.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of the idea here is that, you know, in a sense, this is an attunement.
Just staying
like,
open,
you know, with a musical instrument, right. You tune the musical instrument first. If it's out of tune, whatever you play with it, no matter how skillfully you play, is going to be out of tune. But if you tune the instrument to the specifics of what is intended for then whatever musical pieces you play, they're going to sound beautiful if you play them skillfully. And if you don't play them skillfully, you get accurate feedback about that you can use to learn to come more and more in line with what is a skillful expression of that. And in fact, that's what we all have always done. All the results that have happened all along the way have been a reflection of what is the attunement I've been operating in that has directed me to notice certain people, choose certain people, not notice certain people. And if we adjust that attunement now, they're just like you're saying, there may be certain people or resources or conversations or opportunities that will show up that before I wouldn't have even noticed.
Right.
I wasn't
available.
I wasn't available. I didn't have my radar set for that.
Right.
So if New Year's resolution that really sticks, if there's anything in this that's stimulated something for you, turn you on, but you're looking for a little more support with it, feel free to contact me. You can find me on the web at amatteroftheMind.com. You can call me in Santa Fe at 505-920-6149. So what if the New Year's resolutions that really stick, the opportunity, the possibility of what you really love in your life, what if that's simply a matter of the mind? Blessings.